Can you all hear me at the back? At the top, hello. How are you guys? And everyone else, hello. My name is Craig, and I've been coming to Olive Tree for, I don't know, quite a long time now. And I get to call this place my home. So I'm very grateful and have a deep gratitude for the people here. And I was actually sitting around a table with a group of mates the other morning. One of them was celebrating his birthday. And I just realized that around that table there was such a richness of relationship, such a depth that you just can't spin up overnight. And I have this place to be thankful for that. So, yes, I'm here today to talk to you about one thing, and that is when we focus on God's trajectory and not on our own position, we understand that His goodness, His kindness, and His mercy are unending. And this topic today is a part of a series called Your. How many of you use that word at home? Hey? A lot of us. Your. It's such a descriptive word, so South African. I think if you're not South African, maybe visiting us, you'll be like, what is that? It's basically a description to say, I'm really excited about something. Your. We won the rugby. How good was that? Or, yo, that was close. So a bit of a nervous excitement as well. And like I said, my topic today is going to be talking to you about God's kindness, gentleness, and His mercy, and the fact that that is unending. And what I wanted to do before I kicked off is just say a prayer, so if you'd bow your heads with me. Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to talk to your people, your congregation, to preach your word and understand that it is through you that we connect to you. Father God, we pray that you bless this message today and the people that receive it. Amen. 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 Thank you. All right, so I'm going to speak to you, like I said, on God's trajectory in comparison to our position. And the anchoring scripture is out of the book of Lamentations. Now, actually, a lot of people said, hey, you're preaching this weekend. What is your anchoring scripture? You know, that's a, and I'm like, Lamentations. They're like, yo, that's brave. And I think they were right. But I think as we understand the book of Lamentations, and I'll explain it to you in a little bit more detail a little bit later, is that there's a part of scripture in that book, in Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 27, that I think we can all connect with in this day and age. Can you put it up there if you don't mind? So it says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are all not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then it goes on to say in verse 24, I say to myself, for the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, I want to connect that with a little story about myself. Many years ago, I can't remember how old I was. It was a bit of a blur for me because it wasn't a great time of my life, but I was young and I was moving into junior primary. So I went to a little school in Pietermaritzburg. I was raised in a very happy and healthy home. I'm the eldest of three siblings. My parents are no longer with us, but they did a damn good job, hopefully a good job, in raising us. And the part of the story that I want to draw your attention to is one of bullying. I was quite small, weak, skinny, and diminutive at the age of about 9 or 10. I have filled out since that, hopefully not too much over here, but I went to a little school, and I was quite a happy and healthy young lad, and I enjoyed sport and all that sort of thing. But the one year I started and I arrived in the classroom and it didn't make me feel good. I didn't feel any kindness, gentleness, or mercy. And the classroom was difficult because there's a teacher, Mevrouw Besson. I think she's in heaven by now because she was very old at that stage. God rest her soul. But she was horrible to me. She hated me. And at that stage, I actually only found out, a few years ago. God bless my wife, because I don't know how she married me. But I have ADHD, adult ADHD. So at that time, it was kind of unknown and perhaps a little bit either underdiagnosed or overdiagnosed. And this teacher just hated me for it. She would put me at the back of the class, and the class would go at one pace and I would go at another, but she would just throw verbal abuse at me the whole time, belittling me, making me feel terrible. Now, the worst thing about it was I went off on break thinking, hey, I've got a bit of a respite from this, only to be beaten up by two much, much larger individuals, one of whom used to play cricket for England, but they both, beat me up. And so I would go from getting physically beaten up or physically bullied to being verbally bullied. And it was just a mess, so much so that my parents got really worried because I would throw up before school and I was a nervous, anxious wreck. And my poor parents just wondered what was going on. So the position I was in wasn't great. They sent me for tests. I had electrodes put on my head. I went to educational psychologists and everything was fine. And I never forget the sort of the culmination of the story. In one part was my mum was so infuriated by this. And she had spoken to the headmaster and he said, my hands are tied. These kids have got to sort this stuff out on their own, which I thought was a very old school way of kind of thinking. But my mum said to me, at break, okay, I want you to go up to this guy. His name, I'll just call him John because I don't want to embarrass him. But anyway, he's not here, don't worry. You go up to John at break, you walk up to him, you don't say anything, and you just, boom, punch him in the stomach and then run away. Now, I was tiny, right? Okay, I go up to this guy. He's quite a big guy. He's like the captain of the cricket team. Everyone loves him. Go up to him, bah! Punch him, run away, only to be caught later on during that break and got thrashed. But I think the reason I tell you that story is that the position that I found myself in at a very young and tender age was not great. And I guess in many respects, my parents looked at where I was and who I was and kind of projected that into the future and thought to themselves, well, what is the trajectory of Craig if things carry on like they are? What type of adult would he be? Is he going to be scarred? Is he going to be lost? Are we going to have to help him throughout his life? And I'm sure they were prepared to do that because they were wonderful parents, but they were worried. They were worried because the position I was in was one of hopelessness. The position I was in was one of fear. The position I was in was one of no choice. And I think for many of us, I really hope that you perhaps at school didn't get bullied, but I think we can all connect with that story in some way, shape, or form where we allow our position or our place in which we're at to define who we become in the future. And what we do is we project our future through the lens of pain that we experience now. We look at the future going, if this is what's happening, what's going to happen in the future? And we feel those feelings because we run it over in our head. That's how our brains work. So we create scenarios and plans going, well, if this happens, then that's going to happen, and that's going to happen. And the amazing thing is that we think it, but our body has felt the emotion, the pain, the stress, the trauma, all those horrible things. And it's hard. And I think for me, in that moment, my life as a young man was in dire straits. Taking that life, so the idea is that I took that position and that life was over and that God hopefully had a different plan for me. And I think for us, if we look at where we are at the moment, we can sometimes get stuck in that space where I'm like, God, the position I'm in is not great. And I'm a coach by trade, a leadership and resilience coach, and I hear a lot of people say, I don't want to be where I am. This wasn't what I planned. This isn't how I saw it in my mind. So much of that. I am discontent with the position I am currently in. And I really feel that. I can connect with that. Now, I'm not saying that, that pain and suffering, I don't want us to live in perpetual pain and suffering. If you are, my heart goes out to you in a genuine and an open and honest way. But what I am saying is that sometimes when we focus on our position, we forget about our trajectory and who God says we are. So people often that I coach have this polarized view of, I'm not where I want to be, and I'm discontent with that. Or, so there's like this wrestle that people are trying to grab back the reins of their life from God. Hey, God, this is not what we agreed. I'm taking over. Or people are in a position where they're like, yeah, I'm actually fine. I'm good. God, I don't need you. I'm okay. I got myself here. I'm going to build a little wall around this position. I'm going to hunker down. I'm actually okay. And I've been there. I've been in both spaces and places. And the type of comments that I hear is, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. I want for nothing. I've got it made, or I can't do this. I'm not where I want to be. I've got no options. I've run out of choices. I'm down and out. And the funny thing is that we exclude God from the picture because we try in our humanness to wrestle the reins back from him. But the point I'm trying to make is that when we focus on our position, we lose sight of God's trajectory for our lives. And when we focus on God's trajectory, we understand that his goodness and his kindness and his mercy are unending. So I've got a few slides I'd like to show you, if you wouldn't mind putting those up. Does anyone know who that is? No, that's Tina Fey. Thank you, Justy. Well-read individual. Tina Fey, at the age of 24... worked at the YMCA, and now she's an incredibly famous actress. Next one, please. That is Oprah Winfrey. You don't get any points to tell me who that is. Everyone should know who that is. At 23, she was fired from her first reporting job. Next slide, please. Anyone? Stephen King. Okay. At 24, he was a janitor, and he lived in a trailer, and now he's a world-class or world-renowned director, movie maker, screenwriter, etc., etc. Next one, please. Harrison Ford, at the age of 30, he was a carpenter. Next one. Come on, all the ladies should know who this is. Oh, here we go. Vera Wang. Okay, she tried out for the Olympic skating, US skate figure skating team. She didn't make it, and then she went on to try and get the editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine, and she also didn't get that. And now she's one of the most famous dressmakers in the world, right? Am I right, ladies? Yes? Okay. And then last one. Anyone? That's Alan Rickman. Okay, at the age of 41, he was a graphic designer. And at the age of 42, he decided to take up acting, and he took up, his most famous role was, I've forgotten his name, but he was in Harry Potter. Snape. Professor Snape. Yes, thank you. Very well, good knowledge there. Well done. But what I wanted to do was just show you the fact that there was a point, there was a position in the lives of these people. There was a time where no one knew who they were. No one, if we had put those pictures up in this room, may have shouted out Vera Wang or Harrison Ford. Their position was meaningless. But they weren't in the position that they wanted to, but they understood that they had a trajectory. And if they, look, I don't know how many of those people are Christians. I have no idea. But what they decided to do was focus on a trajectory and believe in themselves and understand that actually position and where you are doesn't mean anything. And I think a lot of businesses do that. Those well-read sort of economists and finance people here and CEOs would appreciate this, is that sometimes I think that businesses get into this space as well. What's your position? You know, how are you doing this month? Let's see the figures, and they forget about the trajectory. And I think often we do that in our own lives, is that we look at positions, moments in time. Now, positions actually are developed, certainly the negative ones are led by emotion and feeling, which is not a bad thing, but then we make decisions based on that. And we start creating events in the future that may or may never happen. And the last slide I have to show you for those sort of A-type number personalities. Can you bring that slide? There we go. That's the stocks emerge from COVID crash with historic 12-month runs. So they took the NASDAQ, the Standard & Poor's, and the Dow Jones, and they plotted this on the graph. And those that you that understand kind of economics is that on the left-hand side was basically the percentage performance. On the left-hand side, on this axis, I always forget, is it the Y or the X? Anyway, it doesn't matter. You can see Jan, March, May, and that's a timeline. Now, the reality is, if you were like me, I don't really understand stocks that much. But I have a very good friend. I think he might be here today, Mark. There you are. Thank you. He gave me a really good idea for this. He said, investing in the stock market is not about trying to time the stock market. It is about time in the stock market. So often we try and time things, position, but actually stocks is about time in the stock market. So what happened is just, you'll see that, you know, if you had stocks, if I had a little pointer there, at just before March when COVID hit, you may have had some shares and then it's, you know, COVID started and then people panicked and they started yanking their money out of all of these indices, right? And it went down, and they were like, oh, yeah, I'm saving myself some money, you know? And what they were doing was they were looking at their position. But they were forgetting about the trajectory, because look at how those indices have been performing over a course of time. March 2021, they all shot up. Now, I know we don't have a crystal ball on the table, but I can guarantee you guys that when we invest with God, we never lose. That when we put our shares and our hopes and our thoughts in God, we're never disappointed. But if we try and wrestle back position, because we're in a space of hardship and disappointment and discontent, we forget about what God's saying to us. Are you with me? So just to bring that scripture back into the fold here, is that, well, what does the Bible say about this? Well, the book of Lamentations, and again, everyone is like, yo, Craigo, I think you're risking it all there, buddy, Lamentations. But to give you a bit of context, is the book of Lamentations is basically a collection of poems, and it has a specific way or methodology of how those poems have been developed, based on the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, but basically, in summary, the Book of Lamentations is a memorial to lives lamenting pain, suffering, anger of the Israelites at the time. Okay, and I think Lamentations may, in a small way or a big way, represent a little bit of life that we experience now. I'm lamenting. I'm angry. I'm not in the position where I want to be. This is frustrating. I'm over this. Or, yeah, I'm in a good position, building this little wall around it. God, I don't need you. I'm on my own. I'm all good. But Lamentations is a book about struggle and hardship and fighting and wrestling and being discontent with where, and it's really people exclaiming and proclaiming the discontent to God and saying, Lord, this is what not what I signed up for. This is not where I want to be, and surely you have something better for me. And the scripture that I read to you earlier talks so much about wait and hope and patience. We don't need to wait around and be hopeful when we're in the moment. Of course, there is some of that. But in order for us to understand, much like that graph, God's trajectory is always going to go up. But if we're so focused on our position, we're never going to experience that, folks. And I want to tell you that I wrestle with this every day. Okay, in my business. My business is sucking at the moment. Okay, and it is seasonal and it is just the way things are. But you know what? I've got enough work for the whole of next year and maybe even the following. Position versus trajectory. Where I am now versus what God is doing for me in the future, his destiny. And if I allow myself to define who I am in this moment, to go, Craig, you're a failure. Your business bank account is not looking very healthy. In fact, you'd probably laugh if you saw it. How would I be able to get up on the stage today and preach God's word in a way that was meaningful and convincing and authentic? Folks, when we define our lives in terms of position, we lose sight of God's trajectory. And as a result, we don't experience his kindness, his gentleness, his mercy. Now, the person who understood this more than anyone was Jesus. In fact, he's the only person in history whose position, he's the only person in history who knew and understood that his position would secure our trajectory. He lived on this earth as human as you or I. And in the book of Mark 14, or chapter 14, verses 34 and 36, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane with and he goes away with some of his disciples and prays, and then he goes away by himself. And he says to the Lord, his Father, Father, remove me from this cup. Take this burden from me. This is not what I signed up for. Knowing that he was going to get tortured, that he was going to get crucified, and that he was going to die for us so that you and me may experience the goodness of his trajectory and not worry about our position. See, guys, I think what happens often is that we seek identity in God's trajectory. We should be seeking identity in God's trajectory and not in the relevance of our position. God is the one who proclaims and exclaims who we are before we were born, while we're on earth. And you know what, guys? It doesn't end when we die. We're born into eternal life. Now, that is some good news. Why would we need to worry about our positions when we know that our trajectory has been secured? If you're investing in stocks, you never lose with God. You always win. You never lose. Some of us may think that that may be a little bit of a pyramid scheme or a hoax or something, and there are a lot of those going around at the moment, but the reality is it's true. If we allow our positions to lead and guide us, we're never going to understand the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, and the mercy of God, because that gives us an opportunity to raise our eyes and look toward the cross and say, Lord, you are my Savior. You know better. It is painful in the moment. This position is not great, but I'm going to trust you. So what I didn't mention, rewind to the story I told you earlier, remember? The story about bullying, right? The story about bullying was, it didn't end there. Yes, I did punch the guy in the stomach. And anyway, long story short, my parents were down and out. They just didn't know what to do. This position that they were in, that their son was in, that we were in, was just not a good thing, and that they didn't see they had any option. They didn't understand what the trajectory was. And they met a man who I still believe was an angel on earth for me. His name was Jerry Wilkinson. And Jerry Wilkinson was a headmaster of a little school in Hilton. And Jerry said to me, you know what, Craig? I don't know how we met. He said, would you like to come and spend a day with us? I said, yes, Mr. Wilkinson, I would. So I went in the school clothes of my old school, or the current school, and at that school I felt kindness, I felt mercy, I felt gentleness. And then I went to that school. Now, Mr. Wilkinson was literally one of, like I said, a guardian angel for me. And a few years ago, I actually wrote, he's in heaven now, but I wrote a letter to his family saying to them what a mark he had left on my life. And I shared and I thanked them for who he was in my life. And although he wasn't on earth, that he knew that in me, he saw a trajectory that I wasn't seeing. And he said to me, Craig, you're not going to be defined by your position. And it all came together. I never forget, as young little boys, we loved sport. And my two boys are sport crazy. And Mr. Wilkinson said to me, he chose me for the A rugby team. Now, I wasn't a very big school, but we had some good players. And I said, sir, I don't know if I'm good enough to make the rugby team. And he said, Craig, you are the smallest kid in the team, but I think you've got the biggest heart. And you're going to tackle the hell out of everyone. And you're going to carve it up. And you know what I thought to myself? I am the smallest kid, but maybe I do have the biggest heart. And I tackled my heart out. And I got man of the match. And from then on, I started believing in the destiny that God had for my life, instead of the position that was consuming my heart and mind the whole day. Folks, if you're in a tight place, if your position is weighing you down, I get it. I'm with you. And I'm sorry. It's not your fault. Okay? But it is your responsibility to trust God and to hope in him. Because I can guarantee you, like that that spreadsheet or whatever graph that I showed you, is that it just goes up. We never lose. Our position versus God's trajectory or destiny gives us an opportunity to experience his goodness and kindness and mercy, much like I did on that first day when I went. They even had a little fireplace in the classroom that I was in. I felt God's warmth. I felt the genuine embrace of his love. And I know that you can too, if you hope and trust in a God that knows you, that loves you, and that calls you by name. Let's pray. Father Lord, thank you that we are not defined by our position. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross so that he could secure our trajectory, and that when we feel the heaviness and the weight of where we're at, that we're only reminded of your goodness, kindness, and mercy because our eyes are cast up. We focus on the cross. And just like that small boy many years ago, Lord, who was bullied, and through someone that you worked through, you gave him the opportunity to see what it was and who he was and how he would live and how he would grow up. So I pray, Father God, over these people, over the people that are watching online, that I pray God's destiny over them, Father. I pray your trajectory. I pray that we don't get consumed by our position in spite of how hard and horrible and painful it may be, that if we just continue to focus on you, we understand that your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy are unending, and that you always have victory. Help us to understand, Father God, that we're not fighting for victory, but we fight from victory, and the battle has been won. Amen.